chapter of the book of Isaiah. And we had run short on time, and I didn't get to spend as much time on some of the detail as I wanted to. So although we're probably going into this 11th chapter tonight, and we're prepared to go through the 11th and 12th chapters if we have the time, I want to go back and pick up some more detail, though, on the last part of the 10th chapter of Isaiah. This latter part of the 10th chapter is talking about the invasion by Judah of Assyria. And the king here of Assyria that's responsible for this invasion is Sennacherib. And what is happening is that God is using Assyria as a tool, as an instrument, like an axe or a staff or a rod, to bring about a certain amount of punishment on Judah. Israel has just fallen and been taken into captivity. Samaria, the capital of Israel, fell. I believe that's 721 B.C. And so now this great mighty Assyrian army, which has captured everything in its path, even Egypt, is closing in on Judah. Now the Lord's promised that he's not going to take Jerusalem, but it looks like there's no way that he can keep from taking Jerusalem. And so let's go over in this 10th chapter of Isaiah now. And beginning with the 28th verse, he begins to name some little towns a few miles north of Jerusalem. Some of these towns, as we looked them up in the dictionary, I looked up the meaning of each one of them. They say that location is unknown. Archaeologists today haven't been able to find the ruins of some of these towns. Some of them they have. And as I thought in my mind, it'd be kind of like if somebody or maybe were launching an attack on Hamilton, and they might start naming some little towns like, Shive and places that we all know the meaning of, but that, 2,000 years from now, nobody could even find any ruins of at all. But they were well known. So he begins in this 28th verse. He's come to Acath. He's passed to Migron. At Mishmash he has laid up his carriages. Now this Acath is thought to be the city of Ai, which is the second town that the Israelites invaded whenever they crossed the Jordan River after they came to Jericho. And there's a lot of things said about Ai, and this is thought to be a variation of that word and essentially the same town. At Mishmash he has laid up his carriages. Mishmash is 7.5 miles northeast of Jerusalem and has laid up his carriages. This would mean that he's probably made camp there, or this army has set up some kind of a area for launching an attack. And then he says they are gone over the passage. Now, at this place there was a passage. There was two, I don't know if you call them hills or cliffs or whatever, but there was a passage between them, and it was thought to be a strategical area for military protection. Well, when the army got there, all of the message here is that they've passed that. There's no chance of cutting them off there because they've already passed that place. They've gone over the passage. They've taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah of Saul is fled. Now this is the town where Saul was from. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmena is removed. The inhabitants of Jebim gather themselves to flee. Now as I say, these are all little towns a few miles north of Jerusalem. And this army is just passing through these cities with a mighty onslaught. We're told that this army captured or overthrew 46 walled cities of Judea. And not to mention then the smaller places that didn't even have a wall around them. So there was no stopping of this mighty Assyrian flood. And as yet, he remained at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Now this city of Nob is thought to be some 3 or 3.5 miles away from the city itself. As I understand it from studying about Nob, it's so close to Jerusalem that there were times in which the tabernacle was set up at Nob rather than at Jerusalem. And the time when David and his men went into the tabernacle and ate of the showbread there, when David was having his conflict with Saul, and as a result of this, the priests were put to death by Saul, the tabernacle was at Nob. So he's just on the very brink of Jerusalem. It'd be like if this town here, or this house, were the edge of Jerusalem, and Hidden Valley was Nob, about 3 miles away. That's just how close they were to the city. So close that he shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion and the hill of Jerusalem. And of course, this hill of Jerusalem was Mount Zion, and he was so close he could just shake his hand at it, see it. And it looked like the end was just so near. But yet God had promised that he would not take the city of Jerusalem, and he didn't. So what I want to do now, though, is to go back and look at the other side. We've seen the side now from the standpoint of Assyria, kind of. Let's go and see what was happening to Hezekiah, the king of Jerusalem at this time, what they were doing, what they were thinking, and what kind of a strain they were under. We'd like to turn back to 2 Kings, the 8th.